Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News, online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. And it sometimes gets a little lonely here in the studio. So often it's just me and Rachel. Everybody out there having fun. And by fun, I mean furiously trying to keep our show on the air by any means necessary. So it was a really bright idea to have them come in the studio once a show to join us for the most. Whose idea? Oh, yeah, that was my bright idea. Literally, there's nobody out there, is there? You're all in the studio.
Hope no big news.
I was about to say.
Hope a bunch of hydrazine doesn't hit Massachusetts.
Some satellite.
We actually had to open up another studio to fit all of us in here.
We're getting ready to talk about the most emailed, most viewed stories on the internet. It's the most. Okay, Caitlin, go first and then go back to the office.
Okay. I'll make it quick. I'll make it snappy. I have one of the most emailed stories of the LA Times. It's called The Made in Italy Label Read the Fine Print. So a lot of people have, you know, their Gucci shoes, their Prada bags, and these old men and women in aprons and spectacles stooped over stitching this handcrafted leather. Well, apparently it's not really the case. There's been a huge influx of Chinese immigrants into Italy, and they're actually the ones putting together a lot of these goods.
You don't say.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking.
Chinese workers making...
I know, who could have believed it? But apparently in Prada, which is Tuscany's historic and industrious textile center, which is near Florence, Chinese who are legal residents now make up about 12% of the population, and if you factor in the illegal immigrants, they think it's closer to about 25%. And the problem is the traditional leather makers, these people consider themselves craftsmen, say they just can't compete anymore. They say that the products may be made in Italy, but they're not made in the same traditional Italian style. So if you have a bag that is hand-produced by authentic craftsmen, it could cost you about $365 to produce, whereas one that's made by illegal immigrant labor could cost about $30 to produce. So they just really can't compete anymore, and it's really hurting their business, and they're not happy about it.
Good thing we don't have that problem here.
Yeah.
I actually had a wallet that said on the inside of the wallet, crafted in Italy. Which I'm pretty sure meant made somewhere else.
Was it crafted with a K?
Yes.
Dan, you're next.
All right, I got a most emailed here from Yahoo News. The headline now says, anger slows healing process after injury, says study. But I actually read into this a bit, and the headline's a little deceiving. You would hear the headline and just assume, so angry people don't heal as quickly. But that's actually not what the study found. The study found that people who control their anger heal faster than people who can't control their anger. In other words, if you're going to be really angry, you're full of anger, you're just going to let it all out, you'll heal just fine. If you decide you want to repress all your anger and hold it all in, you'll heal okay too. But if you want to repress it and then you fail, in other words, if you lose control, then you're going to take longer to heal.
Didn't we learn in a most recently that people that let out their anger have longer marriages or something? So we're going to have, like, wounded old couples?
We should, like... Yeah, no, they're not going to be wounded. If they choose to let it out, then their cuts and burns will heal just fine.
You just have to let it out from the beginning.
Right, okay,
basically, like,
it.
The point is every Friday here on the show, we should just have, like, a battle royal. And then we'll all heal really fast and have long and happy lives.
We should keep doing that.
Ian, you're up next.
Yeah, this is a most emailed from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. The headline, Hybrids Meet Your Rival. It gets 376.59 miles per gallon. I saw that and I was like, oh, something new, another, you know, banana-powered car or whatever. It's actually
banana-powered?
I don't know. Whatever they're doing now. I can't keep up.
Tater tots.
This actually is a 1959 Opel T1, which looks kind of like an old Mini Cooper.
Yep.
You know, it's just kind of junky-looking car. Shell Oil Company held a contest in 73 for engineers, whoever, to submit their most fuel-efficient car. And this guy, just kind of in his garage, stripped this thing down, gave it a chain drive, took a seat out, chopped the top to make it more aerodynamic. The coolest thing I thought he did was he actually insulated the fuel line so that gas, rather than entering as a liquid, entered as a vapor. So, just kind of meted out much more slowly. After the contest, the car was passed around. The guys who owned NASCAR eventually bought it, put it in a museum, and it was just kind of sitting in Talladega, Florida, nobody paying any attention to it, forgetting about it. And then this guy from Seattle, Evan McMullen, had heard about it, found it, bought it, and he's now saying, look, yeah, it's been 30 years. Why aren't more cars like this?
Because the oil company bought it and buried it. That's why. some lobbyist somewhere had it. All right, Tricia, you're next.
Okay.
Are you settled down now? We had a headphones issue there for a minute. They were wrapped around the chair.
I'm kind of a train wreck today. I think Dan sabotaged me. He left the headphones wrapped around the arm
Get
of his
angry.
Chair. Okay. Again, searching the Googler for all of you. Up there in the top 10 of Google Trends, peaking at 9 o'clock last night, Eastern Time, is the name Wendy Wilson. So you ask, who's Googling Wendy Wilson of Wilson Phillips? And it's because she was on Super Nanny. She is their very first celebrity mom who had her out-of-control brood on Super Nanny and had to have Nanny Joe come and help them out, call her kids cheeky monkeys, and make them sit on the naughty step. So
I love Nanny Joe.
I know. I actually didn't get to watch the show last night, which, you know, for me, I call it mommy porn. It's just the greatest show because, you know, it makes your kids look great by comparison. These poor families, what they have to go through. So anyway, but true to, there was a little leak video out there. So Wendy Wilson, of course, blames her parents.
My father, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, when I was growing up, wasn't around, you know, for the most part. He just wasn't able to parent my sister and I. We were allowed to do almost anything we wanted to do as children. I think that structure was missing in the household. I think that influenced me because I tend to be more liberal with my children, and Dan is just quite the opposite of me.
Okay, wait, she has documentation of that.
Yeah.
Like her dad was
That's
in a room
true.
Staring at a wall.
Well, anyway,
she was
so I don't know what advice the Super Nanny gave her, but I have some advice for her, and it goes something like this. Don't you know things will change?
Things will go your way if you hold on for one more day.
Hold on.
I thought I'd let you have that last
day
alone.
Oh, that
I feel
was
like
good,
I'm on a mountaintop.
Wow, or on the beach. Wearing a long black outfit. Isn't that what her sister never
Hold on for one more day, Wendy.
Hold on, Wendy Wilson. All right, I think that does it for the most.
Oh, no. There's one more.
Oh, there's one more. Sorry. Matt Martinez, that's right. You're in the other studio. I almost forgot
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know. Out of sight, out of mind.
News from 10 feet away.
It's always been my problem. Yeah, I have the number one most emailed story at NPR.org. It is a story that NPR has covered extensively. Morning Edition's covered it. And when I worked on Weekend Edition Saturday, we covered it there, too. It's about the Sheraton's Four Points Hotel chain and their search for a chief beer officer. It's as awesome as it sounds. Yes, chief beer officer.
Beer czar. And,
yeah, if you can imagine, when they posted the job, thousands of people applied for it.
Who wants to be a CEO when you can be a CBO?
CBO, yeah, exactly. Well, a guy named Scott Kirkman's got the job, and I'm pretty sure he is the country's first CBO. And here's a report from Kirk Siegler from one of our member stations, KUNC, in Greeley, Colorado.